Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we begin the majlis tonight, there is one clarification and one reminder. One of the mu'mineen asked a question regarding some of the concepts presented in last night's discussion. And that was when we mentioned that there is a verse in the Quran as understood by some Muslims to mean that do not take the Jews and the Christians to be your friends. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ. According to the Imamiya school of thought, the madhab of the Holy Ahlul Bayt, the word awliya here does not refer to friends, but refers to people of high authority. In other words, Allah says that do not make the Jews and Christians to be people who have authority over you and inform you how to lead your life in terms of religion and other aspects to do with dunya. Therefore, the meaning that is taken by some of our brothers, some of the mufassireen, that the awliya here means friends is not accepted, since it is not forbidden per se in principle to have friends from other beliefs and practices. Second reminder, I was also informed by one of the mu'mineen in the jama'at that, as you all know, last week across North America, and I know for sure in Europe, there was a full lunar eclipse in which namaz-e-ayat is wajib to perform at that time, and whomsoever was unfortunate to miss the namaz, it is also compulsory to perform the namaz at any time after the actual eclipse as qada. And namaz-e-ayat, salat-e-ayat is 2 rak'ats, and you need to refer for the mu'mineen who need clarification on the performance of the namaz, refer back to the books of Risala, of jurisprudence, and that will be clarified. However, this needs to be performed as soon as possible, since it is wajib. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا. وأعوذ به من شر نفسي، إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام الدين. أما بعد، قال الرسول الأعظم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: حسين مني وأنا من حسين، أحب الله من أحب حسينا. صدق الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In lighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. On the occasion of the Arba'een, 40 days after the tragic martyrdom of Sayyid al-Shuhada, the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, our third Imam, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. His martyrdom alongside his faithful Ahlul Bayt and companions, we extend our condolences to the master of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, our eminent and respected Maraji', and to all mu'mineen across the world. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq and the opportunity to recite the ziyarah of Arba'een next year, and we are in close proximity to the shrine of the Imam. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to attain the shafa'ah of the Ahlul Bayt in Akhirah. For one of the most widely narrated hadiths highlighting the position of our third Imam, and a hadith that is narrated across all schools of thought, is the hadith from the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. Ahabballah man ahabba Husayna. Allah surely loves whomsoever loves al-Husayn. And this hadith has been narrated in many books of our brothers, including At-Tirmidhi. And when we come to examine this hadith, it is very important to analyze and try to comprehend the meaning behind these words from the Holy Prophet of Islam. Since the Holy Prophet of Islam does not speak from himself, everything that he says is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we need to scrutinize and carefully understand the words of the Holy Prophet of Islam. When it comes to understanding this hadith, in which the fadilat of our third Imam is highlighted to Muslims, there are three interpretations, three ways in which we can examine this hadith an-Nabawi al-Sharif. First of all, the understanding from this hadith is that the third Imam is the grandson of the Holy Prophet, and there exists a special relationship due to love and compassion between the Holy Prophet of Islam and our third Imam. When the Holy Prophet says, Husaynun minni, Husayn is from me. And here I wish to narrate some of the hadiths available in the books of our brothers, highlighting the special position that our third Imam has in Islam and in our prophetic hadiths. For we have, for example, that Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the narrators from this school of thought, Sunni school of thought of our brothers, says that the Holy Prophet of Islam one day saw Imam al-Husayn walking towards him. He then said to the Imam, Marhaban bi zayn as-samawati wal-ard. Welcome to the decoration and the ornament of the heavens and the earth. So a companion said to him, Ya Rasulullah, are you not Zainu Samawati wal Ard? Are you not the decoration or the ornament or what the heavens and the earth feel happy to be surrounded by or glorified by? He said, إن الحسين في الأرض إن الحسين في السماء أكبر مما هو في الأرض. Husayn is looked and respected highly more in the heavens than he is on earth. And the Holy Prophet of Islam says, ألا أنه مكتوب على العرش. Surely on the throne of Allah there exists this statement, إن الحسين مصباح الهدى وسفينة النجاة. Husayn is the ship, is the ship of guidance. Husayn is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation. Then the Holy Prophet turns to the companions and says, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the heart of whomsoever he loves the love of Husayn ibn Ali. This is a hadith. Then we also find a hadith narrated by Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the head of the jurisprudential school of thought of the Hanbali, in which he says that one day when the Holy Prophet of Islam completed the Salat of Isha, then Abu Huraira requested to take Al-Hasan Al-Husayn, who were young, back home. The Holy Prophet said, no, they have their own way. And narrators, Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, that when Hasan Al-Husayn left the mosque of the Prophet, Muslims can see in the darkness of the night a special glowing light from the heavens that showed them the path until they reached their household. At-Tirmidhi also mentions another hadith. And here I'm trying to highlight that it is not only the followers of the Ahlul Bayt that speak about the fada'il of Sayyid al-Shuhada, but all Muslims examining their books, we will find that they narrate hadiths which brings home the idea about the position of Imam in Islam. At-Tirmidhi says in chapter 2, page 307, he says that once Rasulullah turned to his companions and said, just now an angel of Allah descended from the heavens, and this angel of Allah descended now for the first time, and she'll never come back to earth ever again. But this angel of Allah had special good news and tidings. And this angel said to me, Abshir Ya Rasulullah, I hereby give you good news Ya Rasulullah, Anna Fatima Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, that Fatima is the mistress of the women of paradise, Wal Hasan Wal Husayn Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah, that Al Hasan Al Husayn are the masters of the youth of paradise. And therefore we find hadith after hadith highlighting this position. Also we find a hadith found and narrated by Al-Mustadrak, by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. Imam Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak narrates that one day Umm Salama came to see that the Holy Prophet of Islam had just woken up from his sleep, but he was crying and holding in his hands a piece of dust. She turned towards him and said, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? She said, according to Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, a very famous book of our brothers, she said that he took this piece of dust and he started to kiss it and smell it. And he turned to Umm Salama and he said to her, just now Jibra'il came to me and gave me the news that my grandson will be slaughtered in the plains of Karbala, and I hereby give you this piece of dust from Karbala for you to cherish. This was a hadith, and hereby we understand two things. The legitimacy of crying for Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, for the first individual to cry for Husayn was the Holy Prophet of Islam. And secondly, to undertake and to use the turba, the dust, the clay from the land of Karbala as something sacred, as shown by the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the people come forward and say, even today, they object to the idea that Imam al-Husayn is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. They say that normally the title of grandson is given to an individual whose ancestors or whose father is related to the grandfather through his father, not through his mother. And as far as Husayn ibn Ali is concerned, he is related to the Holy Prophet of Islam through his mother, not through his father. Therefore, we cannot label him as the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And this particular question is a subject of a story narrated in the books of history that Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, a butcher, a dictator, an individual who is the enemy of the Ahlul Bayt, for 20 years he ruled Iraq and was an instrument for the torture and for the persecution of the followers of the and the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, a means adopted by the Bani Umayyah in Iraq. Narrators say, of history say, that he massacred and killed more than 100,000 followers of the Ahlul Bayt. At one instant there were 30,000 people in the prisons of Iraq under the rulership of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, an individual whom Umar ibn Abdul Aziz says, if all the dictators throughout all of the times of the history are placed together and compared together, no one can beat Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, for he is the worst out of all of them. This individual, this Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, on the day of Eid al-Adha, he turned to his companions and said, today is the day of Eid al-Adha, the day of the sacrifice, and instead of sacrificing a sheep, I want to sacrifice a lover of Husayn. Bring me someone from my prison so that I can slaughter them in front of my own eyes. They brought him an individual. He turned towards him and said, are you a lover of Husayn? He said, yes, I am lover of Husayn from my heart and throughout all of my actions. He said, I will ask you a question. If you will not answer me correctly, I will behead you now. He said, ask. He said, give me proof from the Quran that Husayn is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. This man immediately wanted to recite the verse in the Quran that speaks about the event of mubahala, malediction, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this event in Surah Ali Imran, when he refers to Imam al-Hasan al-Husayn as abna'una, and Lady Fatima al-Zahra as nisa'una, and refers to Amir al-Mu'mineen as anfusana, the soul, then the nafs of the Holy Prophet. Immediately before starting, al-Hajjaj says to him, if you're thinking about bringing that verse of the Quran, then forget it. I don't accept that verse. There was an individual who was sitting in the majlis who is a hafiz of the Quran. This individual said, I was scared for this man, because if it was me, I would have only thought about this verse and this verse alone to highlight that the Holy Imam was a grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. This man noticed the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the knowledge that the people who follow the Ahlul Bayt possess. The knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the verses and the pure words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when confronted by the enemies, tyrants, others, they immediately come forward with the answer. This man turned to Hajjaj and said to him, I recite to you another verse. The verse that speaks about Nuh and the ancestors of Nuh. He says the verse is وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِ دَاوُودِ وَسُلَيْمَانِ وَأَيُّوبِ وَيُوسُفِ وَمُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The verse in the Quran that speaks about the ancestors of Nuh. They were Dawood, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun, and also Allah says we will give good reward to those good doers. Then the verse continues, وَزَكَرِيَّا وَيَحْيَا. Then he stopped. The verse, if it's continued, says, وَعِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. But this individual, the lover of Hussein, did not say, وَعِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. Hajjaj turns towards him and said, why did you stop? Continue the verse. It says, عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. This man turned towards him and said, if I recite عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ, how can he be related to Nuh when he did not have a father? This only proves that he is related as ancestors, as an ancestor to Nuh through his mother. Therefore, Hussein ibn Ali is a grandson of the Holy Prophet through his mother, Fatima al-Zahra. Highlighting how individuals have studied the Quran and are able to give answers from the Quran for whichever problem they are or question they are confronted for on the Day of Judgment. The Holy Prophet of Islam complains to Allah about his ummah and he says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment, this is a prediction in the Quran, that on the Day of Judgment, the Holy Prophet shall complain to Allah, not about his enemies, not about those who did not follow him, he will complain about his ummah. And what did his ummah do? Sidelined the Quran, abandoned the Quran, did not follow the Quran. إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Therefore, the first understanding from this holy prophetic narration is that there is a special relationship between our third Imam and the Holy Prophet of Islam. The second understanding is a deeper understanding, is a more irfanic, more beautiful, more deep analysis of the saying of the Holy Prophet of Islam. In order to understand this understanding, we need to refer to the Quran, that and the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf that speaks about an incident that you and I and every single human being went through, but none of us remembers. And that is Alam al-Dharr, the Alam of Arwah, the existence before our current existence in dunya. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, from their descendants, an oath
أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَى They all said yes. شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ Lest indeed you say on the day of judgment that we were not aware of this incident. According to many mufassirin of the Quran, this happened before our existence now, where Allah gathered every single human being, but not in the physical form, in their ruh, in their spirit. And He took an oath from them. This oath is that they shall worship Allah and become obedient to Allah and Allah alone. And that is understood to be the fitrah, the natural inherited existence that we all are born into, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord, as our Creator, and we obey Him and obey His, follow His commands. We find that the hadith of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the faithful companion who is the subject of tonight, the subject of Arba'een, asks him, Ya Rasulallah, what was the first thing that Allah created? The Holy Prophet turns towards him and said, Ya Jabir, أول شيء خلق الله نور نبيكم. The first thing that Allah created was the nur of your Prophet. وخلق منه نور علي وفاطمة والحسن والحسين. And from the nur of the Prophet, Allah created the light of Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. Therefore, when we come to analyze some of the verses and some of the du'as and ziyarats we recite in surah, for example, in ziyarat waritha, Ashhadu annaka kunta nuran fil aslab al-shamikha. I am witness, O Imam, that you were a light passed on from the generation descendants, from one descendant to another descendant, from loin to loin. أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة and the wounds that are pure and infallible. Therefore, the understanding that we derive from this particular ziyarat and many others. For example, we find in ziyarat al-Jami' al-Kabir, a very beautiful, excellent ziyarah, which is very authentic, narrated in Tahdhib, our book Tahdhib and Man La Yahdharhu Al-Faqih by Al-Saduq and Al-Tahdhib for Tusi, from our 10th Imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Hadi, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in which we have that, for example, the father of Allama Majlisi, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to recite this ziyarah Jami' al-Kubra, every time, for all of his life, every time he went to do the ziyarah of any of the imams, the only ziyarah he would recite is ziyarah al-Jami' al-Kubra. And if you go home, and any time, try to read this ziyarah, you will find it has a wealth of information highlighting the position of the Ahlul Bayt in Islam. And we have narration, and we have history says that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was in Najaf, every time he would go to perform the ziyarah of the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he would recite ziyarah Jami' al-Kubra. In ziyarah al-Jami' al-Kabira, we find that the Imam says, وَإِنَّ أَرْوَاحَكُمْ وَنُورَكُمْ وَقِيمَتَكُمْ وَاحِدَةً O Imams, all of your arwah, all your spirits, all of your nur, your light, وَقِيمَتَكُمْ Your makeup all comes from one origin. طابت وطهرت بعضها من بعض. It is surely clean, pure, infallible, one after the other. And that is why there is a hadith from the Holy Prophet when he saw Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamu alayha. When she was carrying Imam al-Husayn, he went inside the room and he said to her, beautiful, he said to her, Ya Fatima, inni ara fi jabinika nura. Oh Fatima, I can see from your abdomen nur. Nur is coming out. Then he gave her good tidings that you are carrying a hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have another narration that Lady Fatima used to say, that on the days that I was pregnant with Imam al-Husayn, I did not need any light when I walk during the night, for I can see light in front of me showing me direction where to go. أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة. And the continuation of the ziyarah of Jami al-Kubra says, خلقكم الله أنوارا فجعلكم بعرشه محدقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, O Ahl al-Bayt, as anwar, as light, and He made you in close proximity to His throne. And we look at the Quran, and the Quran speaks about a verse that has puzzled many mufassireen. The verse says, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. The throne of Allah, of course, when we speak about the throne, we do not mean a physical throne, so to speak. The Imam alayhim salam have highlighted what the Quran means by the throne. It means something of incredible importance that controls, is under the control of Allah, that directs the affairs of the universe. And the verse says that there are 8 individuals who shall carry the arsh of Allah. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. 8 individuals shall carry the arsh of Allah. Mufassireen have come forward with many different interpretations of this verse, possibilities as to who these 8 were. But if we go back to the Sahih Hadith from the Holy Prophet of Islam, he says 4 of these 8 are from thee, those who are from the past, and 4 of the other 4 are those who are from the distant closeness. The 4 from the past are Adam, Nuh, Musa, Isa, and Ibrahim, and the other 4 are Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, and Hussein. Salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. Therefore, the Nur of our third Imam was passed from one generation to another generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran when He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. This ذُرِّيَّة is one after the other. And this nur descended from one generation to another generation. And all of this descendants was from the wombs of the mothers and the fathers that was completely tahir and pure. So this is the second understanding of the Hadith of the Holy Prophet of Islam. The third understanding is the common understanding, that when the Holy Prophet of Islam says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn, the reason why Husayn is from me is that what Husayn did would not have been possible without the delivery of the message by the Holy Prophet of Islam. And the fact that Islam remained would not have been possible except for the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. This is the third most common understanding of the prophetic narration. For we find that when we recite the ziyarah of Waritha and ziyarah Ashura, Imam is described as the inheritor of the prophets. As-salamu alayka ya Waritha Adam Safwatillah, ya Waritha Ibrahim Khalilillah, ya Waritha Musa Kaleemillah, ya Waritha Isa Ruhillah, ya Waritha Muhammadin Habibillah. We find that the Holy Imam is described as the inheritor of the prophets. In other words, the message of our third Imam was a message that was incumbent to be saved and delivered to all of mankind. It was the message of all of the prophets. And he had to sacrifice and give everything that he had in order for this message to reach us today. For when an individual asked our fourth Imam, how do we know that the revolution of your father is forever victorious? He said, if you hear the adhan being proclaimed across the world, know that my father is forever victorious. He saved Islam against a very dangerous disease. Today, we are surprised. We become surprised. How can the Bani Umayyah, how can people at that time not understand the fadilat of the Ahl al-Bayt? Today, we find it difficult. But if we refer back to history, we find that the darkness and the false propaganda machine of Bani Umayyah was such that when they cursed Amir al-Mu'mineen for 70 years on the minbar, and every time before an individual would start the Jum'ah khutbah, when they ask, how did Ali ibn Abi Talib die? They say to them, Ali ibn Abi Talib was struck when he was praying. They will say, did Ali ibn Abi Talib pray? This was the extent that the Bani Umayyah spread their vicious teachings and their vicious plans to completely hijack Islam. And when we have a narration from Al-Mughira, he says, one day I heard the Adhan being proclaimed. I went to see Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. When I entered the house of Muawiyah, he said to me, do you know this proclamation of the Adhan? By Allah, this saying of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, la'adfinannahu dafna. By Allah, I shall bury it under my feet. This was the objective of Muawiyah and Yazid. Save if it was not for the blood and the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And how is it surprising today, in the 21st century, that we have individuals who boldly come forward and say that we should send our blessings of Allah upon individuals like Yazid ibn Muawiyah, whom people, historians, have come to a close to a unanimous agreement about what kind of an individual he was, what kind of fasiq he was, an individual who openly committed sin, an individual who drank alcohol, who played with monkeys, killed innocent civilians, innocent people. And when he was playing with the holy head of the Imam alayhi salam, he used to recite this following poem outlining his kufr. He used to say, Layta ashyaqi ashyaqi bi badrin shahidu. I wish my ancestors in Badr could see today what I have done. They would have said to me, Yazid, well done, may your hands be saved. And then he used to say that there is no wahi, there is no revelation, nothing has arrived proclaiming his true nature. وَلَا وَحْيٌ جَاءَ وَلَا خَبَرٌ نَزَلْ. There is no wahi. When we come to analyze, and this may be one of the final majalises that people attend and remember about Abdullah al-Husayn over these 2 months. We have mourned, we have cried, we have tried to attend as many majalises of Azadari and mourning of about Abdullah al-Husayn over these 2 months. But one thing that we have to remember is that Husayn ibn Ali is not confined to a short amount of time. If we look at our teachings, if we look at the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, they say, if it is during the Maah Ramadan, if it is during Eid, if it is during Laylatul Qadr, if it is during Thursday nights, at all time do ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Because Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, his message is not confined to Muharram and Safar. His message is not confined to a few days. Aba Abdullah al-Husayn lives vividly in the hearts of believers every moment of their existence. Husayn is an inspiration for those who understand him and what he stood for. Husayn causes the heart of the oppressors to tremble every minute when they hear the words on what he stood for and his famous sermons. Husayn is remembered for in every corner of the world. One of the ulama told me one day when he went to Finland to perform the majalis of Aba Abdullah, he decided to go alone and explore the areas in the mountains of Finland. This is a true story. He said to me personally that I got lost in the mountains of Finland until I found a small village. He said, Wallah, I went into this village. There were only a few handful homes, but one of the homes had on the window the flags that said, Ya Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas. In the middle of no man's land, Husayn is remembered. But the question is this. The question is this. People who are non-Muslims cry for Husayn. People who are non-Shia cry for Husayn. What distinguishes you and I from others? What distinguishes the followers of Husayn ibn Ali from others who just take from Karbala the emotional side, who just take from Karbala the grief and the sadness and the tragic story? The difference between you and I is much more. What does Hussein ibn Ali want from you and I? What does Imam al-Hussein require? Hussein ibn Ali requires from each and every individual to understand what he stood for. Number one, we look at our individual level. As individual levels, when we examine the tragedy of Karbala and the revolution of Imam al-Hussein, we find that he wanted us to understand Islam, to elevate our spiritual status. For Imam al-Hussein's revolution is a university that every individual can take whatever they want. If it is about human rights, if it is about the treatment of women, children, if it is about equality, if it is about spirituality, if it is about justice, if it is about how to perfect your life, there are lessons from Ashura and Karbala. How many of us, when it comes to every year, mourning for Imam al-Hussein, wondered, what is the difference this year from last year? Have I got a bit better? Am I a better Muslim? Am I a better believer? Am I a better individual in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Simple thing, in the middle of the battle, when his companions of the Ahlul Bayt were slaughtered, Imam al-Hussein performed Salah. How many of us pay that much of an attention for Namaz? Simple thing. Imam al-Hussein spent the night before his martyrdom with his family and companions on prostration and dua and performing Namaz Shab. Our 11th Imam, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says that the signs of a believer, al-mu'min, are five. Five. Number one, they recite 51 ruk'ats a day. 51 ruk'ats a day. In other words, the 17 ruk'at wajibat and the 34 ruk'at of the nawafil. And then he says, the other signs is that when you recite salat, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly. You're proud that according to the Shia madhab, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is part of every surah of the Quran. And we say it loudly. And he says the third sign of a mu'min is to wear a khatam on his yameen, on his right hand. The fourth sign is to prostrate on turba, on the earth. And the fifth sign is to do ziyarat of arba'een. Ziyarat of arba'een is considered to be one of the five qualities that the Imam says that a mu'min, that a believer possesses. At an individual level, Hussein ibn Ali wants us to elevate ourselves. For surely, if year after year we attend majalis of Ashra, of Ashura, Ashra Zainabiyya, and this does not change us from within, this does not make us better individuals in the eyes of Allah, this does not make us better Muslims, surely we are wasting our time. Look at the congregation here and around the world, 200 people, 100 people, it takes you an hour to come here, an hour to come back, 2 hours to stay, all together, maybe 500 hours of the community. What are we gaining? How are we moving forward? This is a ni'mah from Allah. Notice this blessing of Allah that He has given the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. This ni'mah of having the remembrance and the commemoration of the shahada of the third Imam. Others don't have this ni'mah. When it comes to this, we need to utilize it at an individual level. Then we rise to the community level. We examine the Quran. Allah says, be careful and think. You are all a part of an ummah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are part of an ummah, whether you like it or not. Individualism is rejected in Islam. We are all part of a community. We are part of an ummah. We put our hands together, and we work together, and we strive together. We defend each other, and we work side by side. We look after each other. And when the community requires us to sacrifice, requires us to give our time, requires us to help financially, we are first and foremost there for our community. This is the message of Hussein ibn Ali. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. A beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I buy, I purchase. Many of us are businessmen, yes? We know what is this transaction. Allah, our souls and our wealth belongs to Allah. But Allah says this, subhanAllah. He says, I buy from you two things. Your soul, meaning your time, your effort, everything that you have, and your wealth. And if you give this to me, in exchange I give you Jannah. A very simple formula, a business transaction. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. And we find in other verses of the Qur'an, emphasis being placed on the greatness of charitable donations, giving for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the punishment for those that do not. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله. He says there are individuals, because this verse referred to some companions of the Holy Prophet, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and others, that accumulated so much wealth after the Holy Prophet that when they died, the Muslims found it difficult to count how much money these individuals had. So much. Allah says, والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة, those who save up ذهب, gold, and فضة, in other words, money. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They do not give it فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Ulama of tafsir say, this does not mean charity. This goes outside the charity. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, yes, giving to the poor is included. But here Allah means giving for the cause that will elevate and will spread the message of Allah. In other words, for a new center, for a hospital, for a school, for orphanage fund, for anything that will remind people about the greatness of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, those who hold back. And in a beautiful verse in Surah Al-Munafiqun, he says, Allah says that be careful about death, because when it comes to death, there are individuals who say to Allah, رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. He says, people when they die, they ask Allah, oh Allah, take us back to dunya for a few minutes. But to do what? To do what? Today, if we are given an opportunity, someone will say, your time has come to meet Allah tomorrow. What do we do? What is the action that we do? Many of us will spend the day and night in prostration and dua and worship. Allah says that this individual, as an example, he says, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ, so that I can give صَدَقَةً وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, so that I can give my money that I accumulated throughout my life. Allah, take me back for a few seconds, for a few minutes. I will do this. I will give sadaqah. Because after death, Allah says, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. After death, you see this ghita, this curtain that we have, that we don't see many things. You will see the reality of everything. This individual sees the benefit that and the reward that Allah saves for those who sacrifice. Allah doesn't want you to hold on to what you have acquired. Live in an uncomfortable life, but do not acquire more wealth that you do not need, and invest it in your akhirah. For an individual, one day he was a slave of a man who was rich, and they were walking in the night, and this servant of his had the lamp, and the servant held the lamp behind the individual. The individual was walking. He said, "What are you doing? Hold the lamp in front of me so that I can see where I'm going." He said, "That is the point. You have acquired wealth and you're holding it back. Offer it for tomorrow so that you can see the light for tomorrow. Forward, give your light for tomorrow." Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha waltanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. Let every individual examine what he or she has offered for their tomorrow. And tonight we remember. We remember the sacrifice of Imam al-Husayn, and we remember the tragedy that fell on his Ahlul Bayt when they returned back to the plains of Karbala. But what kind of journey did the qafila, did the caravan of the Ahlul Bayt had to endure? Our fourth Imam says to Nu'man, "Oh Nu'man, our story is difficult for people to comprehend. O Nu'man, our hands were tied behind our necks. O Nu'man, we were taken from one city to another city. And when we entered Sham, an announcer said, O Jews and Christians, these are the sons of Ali. Take revenge for Badr. We were dragged across the streets and humiliated. People threw stones and rocks. One man threw a piece of wood which was burning on my head. And then my head started to burn. My hair started to burn. But my hands were tied behind my neck. So I could not remove this. I could not help myself. O Nu'man, we were abused and humiliated. O Nu'man, they took us to the market of the slaves. They wanted to sell us a slave. O Nu'man, they hit us with spears and swords. O Nu'man, they placed the head of my father and my uncle Abbas on the spear, and they deliberately placed it in close proximity to the camels that were carrying my aunt Zainab and Umm Kulthum, so much so that the onlooker would look at them, but they had their hijab taken off, they had their veils taken off them. O Nu'man, when we were taken to Sham, we were placed in an area, in a room that had no covering. During the day, the sun would burn our skin, and during the night, we would freeze from the cold and are fearful from the beasts and the animals. When they reached Karbala on the 40th day of Muharram, who was there? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the faithful companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam. Jabir ibn Abdullah had lost his eyes. He was taken by one of his servants. He said to his servant, take me to the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. When his servant took him there, he sat there, he started to embrace the grave. Then he said, Hussein, oh Habibi, ya Hussein, my beloved Hussein, Habibun la yujibu Habibah. You are my beloved, but you are not answering the call of someone who loves you. And then he says, Hussein, how can you answer me my call and your head has been decapitated from your body? At that minute, he hears a sound in the background. The sound came from a group of people who said, oh people who have congregated in Karbala, have you heard about our story? Have you heard about what happened to us? He told his servant, go and inquire who these people are. If this is the people of Ibn Ziyad, so that we can go and hide. If it is Sayyidi wa Mawlaya Sajjad, so that I can go and meet him. The servant of his comes back after a few minutes, but he comes back beating his chest and his head. He says, Jabir, go and receive your Imam Sajjad. He comes, he embraces Imam. Imam said to him, Jabir, look around you, this is Karbala. Jabir, this is the area where the tents were bent. Well, this is the area where the bodies were crushed. Jabir, let me take you to the area where Shimur sat on the chest of my father. Let me take you to the place where the tumor decapitated the head of my father. Narrators say that Lady Zainab, she was carrying something. She was carrying something in her laps. She came down from the camel. Everyone waited respectfully for her. What was Lady Zainab carrying? She was carrying the holy blessed head of Imam al-Hussein. It was time to join the head to the body in the grave. She sat there next to the grave of the Imam. She wept. Imam Sajjad wept. Then they opened the part of the grave next to the head of the Imam. She asked him, oh my son Sajjad, where did you bury Asghar? Where is the grave of Asghar? Sajjad said, oh aunt, this Asghar is buried next to the chest of my father. He places the holy head of Imam al-Hussein in the grave. And he puts a sign, this is the qabr of Hussein ibn Ali, الذي مات عطشانا غريبا. He died thirsty while he is غريب. Zainab tells Asajjad, tell me, show me the grave of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Where is Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas buried there? And Imam takes her to the grave of Abu al-Fadl. But the grave of Abu al-Fadl is far. It is not close to the grave of Hussein. She asks him, oh Sajjad, oh my son, why is the grave of my beloved brother Abbas so far from the grave of Imam al-Hussein? Why? Explain to me. Sajjad says to her aunt, when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas both hands were decapitated and severed when he fell, Imam, my father, came to him. He placed his head on his lap, but every time he does that, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas would deliberately take it back and put it on the ground. And my father would say to him, my brother Abbas, why are you doing this? You have shattered my heart. Let me take you back. Let me take you close to the tents. Abu al-Fadl said, no, my dear brother, please leave me here. Imam Hussein said, why? Why should I leave you here? Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas said, I promised Sakina water, but I have no water to give Sakina. How can I see Sakina when she is thirsty with no water? Zainab comes and sits next to the grave of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. My dear brother, you are the one who I relied on. You are the one who is my protector. You are the one who brought me here from Medina. Where are you, Abu al-Fadl? Where are you, my master? Where are you to see what we went through in Sham? It was time for the qafila to leave Karbala. But where were they heading to? They were heading to Medina, the city of their grandfather, Umm Kulthum. Before entering the gates of Medina, she said, Medina tu jaddina la taqbalina. Oh, the city of our grandfather, do not accept us. Why? Why? Fabil hasarati wal ahzani jina. We have come to you with grief and remorse news. But what did we do? We left you, Medina, with our youngsters, with our elders, with our husbands, with our brothers. We have come empty-handed, O Medina. We have come with no one, O Medina. The people saw the qafila of the Ahlul Bayt in front of them. They saw there is no Hussein. They saw no Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. They saw no Qasim. They saw no Aun al-Muhammad. They saw no Asghar. People started screaming. The screams and the crying and the grief could be heard across the city of Medina. The first thing that Lady Zainab did, she went to the door of the shrine of her grandfather. She stood there and said, As-salamu alayki ya Jadda. I bring to you the news of the martyrdom of Hussein ibn Ali. I bring to you the news of the tragedy of Karbala. Then she went to Jannatul Baqi. She was looking for the grave of her father, mother, Fatima al-Zahra. She sat next to her grave. She started to weep. She became unconscious. She then woke up. She saw her brother Sajjad next to her. Every time she saw him, she remembered the torture and the torment that he had to endure. The Imam, the infallible Masoom, and the way he was treated. It is narrated that Imam cried for 30 years. Imam al-Sajjad, one day he was passing through the city of Medina's bazaar and he saw an individual just about to slaughter a sheep. He noticed, he stopped and started to weep. He asked this man, oh man, have you fed this sheep some water? Have you given this cattle some water before you slaughter? He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, every animal that we slaughter, we make sure we give them water. The Imam turns towards him and said, do you know my father was slaughtered in Karbala and he was thirsty? Do you know Asghar was slaughtered with an arrow that is used to kill the adults that pierced through his neck and he was thirsty? Allah la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون وإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. ما تم إمام حسين.